So would you join me in welcoming to the stage Jennifer Sterk of Echo Ministries? Hello and welcome back. There's your microphone. Well, good morning. This is our second service, and that's always the fun thing about it. Is it going to go better, worse, or who knows?
Take
you know,
two.
What's going to happen, what we're going to say. I didn't say this. Is this your fourth time being on stage at Kairos? Is it,
what
is
this?
I don't know. But you've been here. It's almost been every year where we've tried to highlight or kind of just bring about awareness to what you guys are doing and just giving her an opportunity to share about her ministry. And so it's been an exciting year for Echo. There's been a lot going on. God's been working and moving. I get a lot of that information because we talk all the time. I'm on the board, and so I get the insider scoop of all that's happening and all God is doing, and it's really, really exciting. So I want to just give you just an opportunity to share about some of the cool things that God's been doing over the last year.
Sure. So first of all, we opened a shop here in your church, which is incredible. It's beautiful. Just yesterday they were open. They had 37 kids come through, and they average about 100 kids every month, which is incredible because we actually have another shop in Auburndale that averages about 100 kids every month as well. So you guys are reaching out into further communities, which is great. The opening was fantastic. This church is extra. Y'all are so extra in everything you do, which is awesome. And it's such an inspiration to all of our other shops and our directors and churches. And I didn't know this because I just assumed the church I go to, all of the churches are like my church. And so I get the pleasure of meeting other church families. You guys are incredible. And you realize just when you have a heart for the mission of God, you guys follow the vision of your pastor, you can see incredible things. And I just want y'all to know that your shop is such an inspiration to all of our other shops and our directors and just kind of pushes them to go extra in everything that they're doing. So, yeah, that was great. The shop was great. We do have a warehouse that we take in all of our donations, and we needed some extra space. We have 2,000 square feet currently. We needed to expand because we were all full up in the inn. And for about a year and a half, we really struggled trying to find a place that we were able to expand into. The average cost is about $4,000 a month for 4,000 square feet. And we just didn't have that kind of cash yet. And so maybe 2.5 months ago, our current landlord called and said the space next to our current space was available at $4,000 a square foot. I said, or $4,000 for 4,000 square feet. He said, are you financially able? And I was like, no. And he said, okay. He said, well, I'm not like you, but I like you, and I like what you're doing, so I'll give it to you for $2,500 a month. Wow. And so we got extra square footage, which was incredible. But specifically, I just wanted to say that at a director's meeting, we had prayed a couple months before this actually happened, specifically for what we were looking for. And I just wanted to share it with you because it was pretty amazing. But we were asking specifically for a place for us to be able to build beds, AC, bathrooms, office space, meeting space, 4,000 square feet, plenty of parking, safe area, cameras, sound system, a great location for current volunteers to commute to. And every single one of those needs were met in this additional space. So I encourage you to be intentional with your prayers and journal, because God loves to show off, and he certainly did with this. That was a huge one, mainly because we started a side project to build beds for kids that were in foster care. So when children are removed from their homes, usually if they're abused, it's removing them from their parents isn't as traumatic as it is separating them from their sibling group. Because when they're abused, they'll band together and watch out for each other. So what we found in the years that we've been doing this is a lot of these families, when they're opening their homes, they don't have enough beds, so the sibling group gets split up. So we wanted to fill that need so we can keep them together. Bunk beds are really expensive, so we came up with a plan to build them versus buying them, definitely more cost effective, and it allowed men to get more involved. They didn't really love folding clothes, wasn't their thing. really a thing for the ladies, and a lot of teenagers. And so this gave an opportunity for men to show up and build beds out for kids in care, and we needed a space to do that. We literally had everything to do it. We had 15 already built out, enough lumber to do the rest, a guy to head it up. I mean, it was all put together. We just didn't have the space. So he had contacted me, and he was like, okay, so I've got everything in place. What's the next move? And I said, well, I'm trying to find space, but I'm not finding anything. So I need you to tell me how much space you need exactly. So he drew it all out, needed 600 square feet to get it all done. I said, okay. So then just a couple months later, actually it was a director's meeting. So before the next director's meeting quarterly, this space became available. When we were touring the space we walked to the back, and we knew if we took out two offices, it would be enough space. So they demoed it out, and my husband went through and measured the space. It was exactly 616 square feet. It was exactly the space that he needed to build. So just because God's a little extra, and so I love following him like this, we've been in the book of Nehemiah as a ministry because we're rebuilding the current system of support for foster care. We're a part of it. And just like Nehemiah rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, we've got a gate, and we're working on our gate. So I went to Nehemiah 6:16, and it could have been something like Nehemiah was like looking at the wall. It totally wasn't, though. It was good. So it says, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid, and they lost their self-confidence because they had realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. So he is so good. And he's been super intentional with us this year. We've had so many partnerships with different organizations. We've had so much growth. It's been incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's really cool just hearing you talk and seeing God work and move in your ministry and you being so faithful to him and that he is going to provide what you guys need. So you mentioned Echo Winter Haven, and I might be a little biased, but it's my favorite Echo shop around because it's right here and it's ours. It's been open for, I think, 5 months. Right around 5 months now, and you shared about the kids that we're serving and just being able to reach out. So there's Auburndale, which is close, but then we're reaching out in the further further areas, and it's awesome. So are there any other, could you share any other wins that you've heard from Echo Winter Haven?
Sure. So all the things I was just talking about, those are all, like, those are big things. Those are wow things that people are just like, wow, God's moving. But he moves so often that in the small everyday stuff, that we just kind of maybe sometimes brush aside. But when you're in the shops, you see it happen with people who may not get to see it as much as we do, or they don't acknowledge it, or they don't know where it's coming from. But just in the small things, the everyday things, like the bikes that we've gotten, a little girl got her first bike ever at the shop yesterday. And that's a big deal for a kid. Little girl had gotten her ears pierced and just found a set of earrings in there, so got to get earrings after experiencing that as a first. And that stuff happens all the time, just like in the video with the high chairs. I know it's not like one of those big wows, but it's incredible to see these kids and their faces and the way that it touches these families in the tiniest little ways to bring joy into their home. And so Dixie gets to see it all the time. It's really, really awesome. She had one couple in particular that was becoming a caregiving family. They were waiting on the birth of two twins that they were going to adopt. And unfortunately, the children didn't make it. And they were really grief-stricken, but they called us up and they said, hey, we really love what you guys are doing. We believe in it. Can we do a diaper drive in their honor and donate them to your shop? And we were like, yeah, of course. And so they brought them up, and there were tons of diapers. And just honoring these babies the way that they did was just incredible. Mm-hmm. So it's so much greater than the stuff, just the tangible, would you call them opportunities, little opportunities. But it's about community and about changing people's lives and loving people.
Yeah, and that, it's what's, you're sharing just a handful of stories, but it happens every time a shop is open at, every location. And just these little moments, these Kairos moments that take place that are so meaningful. And sometimes you're right, we miss them or we overlook them or we don't recognize just how powerful they are, and they are. And we get to be a part. We get to be a part of that as at our shop here. But it's something that we love. That is really the heartbeat of what Echo does. You're providing for tangible needs, but you're really coming to them and meeting them right where they're at,
right?
And meeting them spiritually and praying for them and loving on them. And I love that. And so, Okay, so Echo, we got Echo Winter Haven, you got the warehouse. What are some ways people, if they're not already, that they could get involved in your ministry?
Well, firstly, if you are here and you want to volunteer at the shop, Dixie would love that. You can bring your kids. It's a kid-friendly environment. We encourage it at the shops because when these kids come in from care, they've seen case managers and investigators and all kinds of adults that they don't, we're not exciting to them. So they'd rather see kids. So when there's kids in the shop, then they feel comfortable when they walk in the door. My kids have grown up in this. They just go right to the kids' area and they sit down and they play with the kids the entire time they're there. That's huge. And it's such a ministry to your family and your kids, instilling in them, just serving other kids in different ways. So that's one way. Dixie's always in need, every shop really, is always in need of baby monitors, car seats. We only give them out brand new. It's just not something that we get frequently or we don't take donated. So if you are out and about or you know people or you've got connections, just hook up with Dixie and say, hey, I'll be a person that when I'm out, if I see something, I'll grab it. Or I'll talk to people and I'll let people know what the need is here in your shop and just be that person in the community. Same thing with the wood. When we're building beds, we always need lumber. Just those connections, if you have them or you can, you know, God puts you in the path of somebody, take a business card outside and just keep it on you and then just contact us. I'd love to come out and talk with you. Dixie can connect with you and we'd love to get this stuff into the shops for these families.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's getting involved. You can serve in multiple ways. You didn't talk about the warehouse, but if they wanted to come over to the warehouse.
Sure.
You can serve over in the warehouse, and it's really not because of the parkway. It's not that far.
No, it's here. right off the tollway. Yeah, right across from the Lakeland Airport. So we're there every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to noon. But if you ever have a group, like your women's group or men's group or whomever wants to just come out as a group and serve, I would love to have you out. We can open it up anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing I want to touch base on is it really is spreading the word.
Yeah,
bringing about awareness, yes, to what Echo does, but it's also to the need. There's such a huge need for these kids in care. And it could be you're serving at Echo or you're coming alongside a family that you meet while you're serving. Where it can lead is amazing if you'll just step into it in the way that God is calling you to step into it. And maybe it's you hearing today and taking a card and you go and you talk to someone in your family, someone in your workplace, and they get in contact with Jen. And what God will do when we use the connections that we have,
so cool,
is phenomenal. And it's just those little things and bringing about awareness. And that's one of the main focuses of what we do with the coffee shop is, you know, when I first brought it to you so many years ago, I said, how cool would it be if we could partner with you? And we would provide, you know, financial support, but more so it's awareness. People could come into the coffee shop, get a coffee, and learn about foster care. We want to promote awareness about foster care, but then we talk about this amazing ministry that gives you kind of a step into what it looks like to be a part of what's happening, to provide for kids in care. And so that's one of the things I love most about our coffee house is, you know, people will come in for coffee and, you know, if they're looking around, they're checking the place out, they'll begin to notice that foster care is around. They look at our signature drinks, and there's things like a foster dad. And when someone asks me for a hot foster dad, I'm like, hey, I'm taken, you know? And so, but all of our drinks are very foster adoptive driven. And so they'll be like, what's that? Why is it called that? And it just opens up this opportunity to talk to them. Hey, the coffee you're buying right now, it goes to support this ministry. ECHO stands for Everyday Christians Helping Orphans. And we just begin to talk about foster care. And they ask me questions about what's a guardian ad litem. And it just gives me the opportunity to make connections over coffee. It's a really, really cool thing. And we get awareness out there. And then people will come back the following week. And maybe they'll make a financial donation. Or they'll bring in something. Or whatever it may be. It's cool seeing God make those connections to have people join him in the work that he's already doing. And so that's a really, really big part of it. Okay, so what about, do you have any needs? Are there any ministry needs, overall ministry needs, or individual location needs?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, pray. That would be huge. If you don't have the tangible ability to donate tangibly or financially, or you're just involved in other ministries and that's what this goes to, that's fine. just keep us on your prayer list. That would be incredible, because every time we open a shop, there's an attack. Every time somebody comes on as a team member, they're attacked. It happens every single time. It's actually, I just give them a heads up before, like, just be aware, something's going to happen. They're like, okay. So just pray for us. We're going to be opening one in Broward County, hopefully in the next year. So we just need to cover them in prayer. That's South Florida. Like I said, Dixie, the tangible stuff, like the car seats, the baby monitors, the necessities, those kinds of things, keeping them stocked at the shop here, that would be great. And then just volunteering here at the shop, talking with the community. Like you said, that's how this whole ministry has really become what it's become, is just by word of mouth. I've not done a huge fundraiser. I've not been on the news, nothing like that. You know, it's just been me out in the community, my husband, our volunteers, just talking with people, and they're touched by it and they just want to help.
Yeah, that's awesome. So one of the things that, I mean, me and you talk all the time, and we've even shared a little bit here, just the connections that God makes. And I've heard so many amazing connections from you and what God's doing, and it's not just here, but it's elsewhere. So can you share the story, the amazing connection that took place?
Yeah, sure. So probably about 2 years ago, we've been taking in donations, and for 10 plus years, started in my garage and then moved into a storage shed and a pod and now a warehouse. And so about 4 years ago, the Lord led us to make sure that everything that we kept and put in the shops was either new or like new. Because when these children come in, he wanted them to feel and know what they're worth to him. And so we shifted gears, and we started to get rid of a lot of stuff. And I would just drive through Salvation Army and drop it off. And by word of mouth, an organization, nonprofit, found out about what we do. And they asked us, all the things that you don't keep, can we have them? And I said, sure. So I was introduced to Kids Ark, which is a local nonprofit that has a youth camp in Honduras, and have for 10 plus years. And at this youth camp, they invite children from all over Honduras. They bus them in. They work with four local orphanages. And what they do is they do essentially like a VBS week with them. Missions teams can go over and they work with the kids. It's really incredible. And the gentleman that heads it up is a contractor. And so he's actually built out live scenes from the Bible. So he actually has a life-size tomb with a stone rolled to the side. He's got the well. He has the three crosses up on the mountain. It's just beautiful. And so what the missions group do is they reenact those moments for the kids and bring it to life. So we've been blessed to be able to partner with them. We never thought, Central Florida, it's really cool, but never thought that God would take it that far. And I was speaking with a gentleman on the phone who works in their organization, and he was out at the property at the time, and he was touring the grounds with the groundskeeper, and there was a tool shed or a small shed off to the side, and he noticed that there were some letters just leaned up against the wall. Now, just to say before this, we had been so excited because God kept doing things in our ministry with their ministry, just the needs being met, how specific they were, like the high chairs, and how their kids were being touched. He would FaceTime me from Honduras, and I would get to see the boys at the orphanages, and it was just incredible. So he's walking the grounds, he sees some letters propped up against the tool shed, and he's like, what are those? And the groundsman says, oh, it's just some stuff left over, I guess, from a while back, something we did. And he was like, can I take a look at them? He said, sure. And so he pulls them out, and it was just four letters, and it spelled Echo. And they were this tall, so it wasn't these little bitty letters. It was big. And so he leans them up against the tomb that they had constructed, and he sent me a picture. And he was like, Jennifer,
You can put that picture up.
Yeah, that picture right there. And I said, you know what? He said, it's just a confirmation to us constantly that you're supposed to be doing a work here in this ministry. God is working here in this ministry, and that we're going to continue to do great things here. And so my husband and I get to leave in July, which is great, to meet the kids ourselves personally, and hopefully get to bless them with a lot of stuff, a lot of kids stuff.
That's so awesome. Yeah. And again, it's these connections, and God he's always orchestrating connections, connecting us to the right people at the right time to do his work and to do a mightier work, and a work that we didn't even think about or know would take place.
For sure.
And it happens all the time. And it comes from opportunities. It comes from just being able to hear about what God is already doing and, the Spirit moving and working within us. And so one of the other things that we wanted to do while you were here today is kind of, it's threefold. The first one is we wanted to partner with you, partner with the shop, partner with families to help provide bags for kids who come into care. This is something that's been done. If you don't know about it, there's an organization. We didn't talk about it this service. We did last service called Together We Rise. One of their main things is no more bags. And so oftentimes kids will come into care, and when they do, they have a trash bag or just very minimal things that they come with. And so this organization, Together We Rise, would put together cases. They would partner with large organizations. They would do these team building things, and then they send them out to the people that need them. And so we wanted to do something very similar, but we wanted to do it with some echo flair. And so we decided to start a campaign. This is to get us as a church involved in what's going on, give you another opportunity to serve, to come alongside, to be a part of what God is doing. And one of the things I shared this last service, one of the things I heard just recently is that not everyone's called to be a foster parent, non-relative, relative caregiver. But we are all called to foster care. Like we all are given an opportunity to come alongside either the foster parents, the children, the biological. There's something that God has for us and he wants to do. And it could be anything. You just never know. And so we want to give an opportunity to each of you to step into that, to see what it looks like and see where God leads it. And so we're starting a Echo Care Packs campaign. And so what we're doing is we're making these bags. And we're going to do a $3,000 campaign. Be about $3,000 to make 120 of these Echo Care Packs. It'll be that bag and then all the things that we're going to put in it. And some of these things are just things that would be really good for kids to have in a care. Blanket, toothbrush, toothpaste, the flashlight, a teddy bear, and then something just to have to just for anxiety, stress, worry. And then we're going to add other items that Jen already has. We talked about putting Bibles in there. And then what we're going to do is once we get all the items in, after we do the $3,000 campaign to raise the money to get them, once the items come in, we'll come together as a church and we'll do what we call a bag packing party. And we'll take all these items, we'll put them in the bag, we can do handwritten letters to the kids that are going to receive them. Just little things like, hey, I wanted you to know you're amazing. God loves you. You have a purpose. I love one of the things on our wall, you matter. That's like one of my, like in that, and just... So it's going to give every single one of us an opportunity to be a part of it and to provide for these kids and provide for these families and just, I don't know, and stepping into his work. So that's one thing we want to do. And then those bags are going to, of course, go to Echo Winter Haven, but I want to give some to you to go to the other shops. Maybe you can have for other connections that you make. I mean, I'm thinking for transporters or caseworkers, just if they get a kid and they have nothing, they could have one of these bags in their car and just give it to them, and they could have it. And so
that'd be awesome.
This is a big way for us to provide a need for kids that come into care. And so we're excited about that and doing that, and again, having the Echo flair on it. And then you talked about donations. It is everything that Echo does is donation-based, and they get clothes. They get lots of clothes, and they're looking for new and gently used. And one of the issues that we have here with this space being multi-purpose, multi-use, is getting donations here. Any donation that comes here, it's not necessarily just for Echo Winter Haven. It's going to then go to the warehouse. The warehouse will sort all those clothes and then send them out to each location as they have need. And so it's just a lot of moving around. Like they'll come and put it here, and I'll move it back there, and it'll go upstairs, and it'll come backstairs. It'll go in a truck. Then it'll go over there. Then it'll get... And so we try to minimize a lot of that. And so maybe you've come in and I said, well, I'll take your bag now. But just so you're aware, if you have any donations, go to the warehouse, go see the warehouse. It's cool. And the new space, and make your donations there. But what we just said is, you know what, there is something where people want to be able to tangibly give right here. And that is what God's called them to do. So I had this idea to come up with donations that you could give that are always a necessity for kids who come into care. And so what we did is we installed four lockers out front. You saw them, they're red. And in those four lockers, it's actually eight lockers. There's four of them, but there's eight lockers in each one. We're going to split them up, and we're going to ask for four specific donations. We're looking for toothpaste, toothbrushes, and floss. That's a huge need. And then deodorant. Teenage boys are stinky. All boys are stinky. Let's just be honest, right? And the girls can get stinky too. So deodorant's a big one. And so having that, and so that could be a donation that we're looking for. And this is something that, hey, maybe you're out shopping for yourself. Grab something for the shop and we can put it and we can get it to the shops. Socks and underwear are going to be a huge need. And then what we're going to do is we have for the fourth locker, we're going to kind of leave that open-ended. And so if Jen messages me and says, hey, this is something that we need, or Dixie says we're running low on this, we'll say, hey, we're in need of this, and we'll change whatever's in the locker. But for right now, we're going to do hats for the boys. My boys are always going in there looking for hats. Shawnee told me yesterday, he's like, I'm going to go in there and get four hats. I'm like, all right, man, take it back a notch. Maybe just grab one. And so hats for the boys, and then maybe hair ties, scrunchies, and stuff for the girls. And so it just gives you another opportunity to, during the week, come in and donate to the ministry. And then one of the other things that's really cool is as people come into the coffee shop, they may not be a part of the church. They may not be a part of any church, but they'll hear about the need, right, just like the guy at the warehouse.
Yep.
I'm not like you. I don't believe what you believe, but I love what you're doing. And so someone could come in, get a coffee, hear about the mission, and that gives them an opportunity to be a part of it as well and to make a donation. And so we're going to have those lockers up. They are permanent. So anytime during the week, again, it's the thing. Tell people about it. Say, hey, there's the coffee shop you can go to. You can get a coffee, and you can also donate some items that go to kids in care. So we're doing the Echo Care Packs, the Echo Donation Lockers that are going to be really cool. And then the last thing I want to do is, we partner with you in a lot of ways, but we wanted to partner with you financially as well. And so we wanted to present you with the big check. And so on this check, we have written the big check for $500. And so we wanted to bless you with the big check for $500. Let's give it up for them. We as a church believe in what you're doing. We have a heart and a passion for foster care, and we want to support you in all that you do.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
It's my first big check.
First big check.
First big check.
Hey, I want to, before we say goodbye, I want to pray with you.
Thank you so much.
Would you guys join me in praying for Jen? God, we are thankful. Thankful for the connection you made almost 5 years ago, where Echo Ministries actually served the kids that I had in care. And I heard about their mission, and I heard about what you called them to do, and I wanted to be a part of it. But here we are, 5 years later, and you're working and moving in ways we could not even imagine. So thank you for the connection. Thank you for the partnership. Thank you for always providing exactly what we need when we need it to reach the people that you are sending to us. God, the need is huge. The amount of children in care, the amount of children that are needing love is massive, and each of us is called to be a part of it, to take care of the orphans and the fatherless. And so, God, we just thank you for this ministry. We thank you for the calling that you put on Jen's life so many years ago to provide a need, just a very specific need. And God, you've continued to grow that within her heart and given her a passion and brought people around her to help see your will be done right here in our community and even farther than we ever could have thought it could go. Continue to bless Jen, husband Justin, and her kids in their lives daily. They do make sacrifices all the time for your will. Continue to bless their ministry. Continue to just show them churches who are going to partner with them, whether it be with opening a shop or financially blessing them, whatever it may be. God, just open up the floodgates so that we can continue to care for your children, because they, at the end of the day, they are your children, and you desire a relationship with them. And Echo and what they do is just a bridge to help make that relationship happen. We praise you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Let's give it up for Jen. Thank you so much. Yeah. So let's see where we at. Oh yeah, we got time, people. So what we tend to do is I want to just share just a short message that goes a lot along the lines of what we talked about, and God led me to a specific scripture to share today from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7, it's 7 and 8, and then verse 11. So I'm going to open up my Bible, and you can follow along on the screens and open up your Bible if you want as well. And I want to share just a few quick things from this. Here's what it says, Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Verse 11, it says, if you then, evil, sinful by nature as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven perfect as he is, give what is good and advantageous to those who keep on asking. So that's kind of what we're going to look at. This scripture here is a model of prayer, of us joining God in his will. And we're going to keep on seeking him out. And so I wanted to give you just three quick ways that we have right here from God's word to see God's will and to join God where he is already working. Because God is always working. He is at work right here in our midst. He's at work in your homes. He's at work in your community. He's at work in your workplace. He's working. And what he does is he invites us to join him in it. And so I wanted to run through these three imperatives that he gives to us. So keep on asking. And so this is really important. Just keep on asking. And I think to send that one further, what we're doing is we're going to ask God to see and join him in his will, to see and join him where he is working. So we ask, and I love in this translation that it says, keep on asking. This is something that we do daily in our lives. And so God is working, God is moving. And what we're called to do is to see what he's doing and then speak it and say, God, is this something that you have for me? God, is my life aligned with your will? God, is this where you're leading me? And so we go to God and say, I'm going through these specific circumstances. I'm being introduced to different people or different things. I'm given these resources. God, what do you want me to do with them? And so we speak it to God and we ask God, you know, what he's wanting to do. And we ask him to help us navigate that. But I think one of the other cool things here is that we're also called to speak this out to others so that we're not just selfishly asking God to come alongside us and the things that we want, but we're going to God and stepping into the will that he has for us. And so we go to him and we ask him. And I think we go to others and say, hey, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm going through. And we ask them to kind of speak into what we're feeling. And so what we're called to do first is make it verbally known. So we speak it out. And then the second imperative that we're given is that we keep on seeking. We keep on seeking to join where we see God working and moving. And so this is, we have the verbal, and so now we move into the mental, into the spiritual. We are preparing our heart and our mind for what God is already doing so that we can join him into it. And so what this looks like, as we seek, we're looking for a deeper understanding of what it is that God wants, what it is that God is doing, what it is that God is asking us to join him in. And so it's the mental and the spiritual. We get a deeper knowledge of God. We dive into his word, and we get a better understanding of his character, and we know his promises. And in that way, as we're seeking, we get to kind of see what he's doing. Like we kind of get the plan kind of laid out for us, however that looks. And so we ask, we speak it. We keep on seeking by seeing it. And then the third thing we are told to do is to keep on knocking. And for me, this is the physical portion of it, where we're called to move and we're called to take action. We're called to join God in what he is already doing. Basically, I'm saying is like we move towards his will. We've done the asking, we've done the seeking. Now we're called to move into action. And this is one of our values here at Kairos. It's our value of get up and go. We're called to be get up and go Christians, to step out into the unknown, into the uncomfortable. Yesterday during our men's group, our Saturday men's group, we were reading through Exodus chapter 3. And this is a moment where God shows up in a burning bush and Moses is there and God's saying, hey, my people are crying out and I'm going to rescue them. And then right there in this, it's just like one sentence and God says, therefore, go. Go, I'm sending you. And I'm not going to tell you everything you need to know. You may not think you're prepared. You may not have what you need right now, but go. Do what I'm asking you to do. And I think this is a very, very important part of this, because oftentimes we can ask and oftentimes we can seek, but if it never turns into action, we can't be used the way that God wants us to be used for his will and for his work. So we've got to move in to action. So we ask, we seek, and we knock. Those are the three constant aspects of prayer that we're being taught here, but I see it also as three constant aspects of seeing God and joining God where he is working. We speak it, we see it, and we do it. We speak it, see it, and we do it. I you know, maybe an illustration is like it's calling God up on the phone, just having a conversation with God and God revealing things to you about what he's wanting to do in your life or in the lives of others. So you call him. And then after you call him, you're like, all right, God, well, let me find out where this is going and what you're doing. So we find directions to where God is at, and then we find directions to where God is at. We go there, and we knock on the door, and we say, God, I want to join you in the thing that you have called me to do. And it's so important because it helps us stay aligned with his will. It's not just about asking for God to do what we want or do what we will or to come over to our house and knock on our door. No. We enter into his work. We're being invited into his work. And I think too often, sometimes we request God to join us in the work that we want, in the work that we will. And we say, hey, God, I have this idea. Will you join me in it? And that's not how it's supposed to work. God is working, and God invites you into his work. And when we surrender our will and our wants into what he is doing, we get to experience things that we never couldn't even have imagined in our life. We get to experience blessing for us and for others. We get to see miraculous things happen, both big and in those small little moments. And so what we must do is we got to make sure that we are asking and seeking and knocking to see and join God in his will, continually doing that daily. And it's a surrender of our will to his will. And I think one of the things in this, as you do this, it's staying observant to what God is doing. It's staying observant to how God is working in the midst of your circumstance. It's staying observant to the people that God is bringing into your life, whether it's a workplace, whether it's community, a neighbor, and maybe it's someone in the church that you've made a connection with. God is orchestrating all of it. You heard just a few stories from Jen and from me about all the connections that God has made, and he's working. He's working out his plan, and what he's doing, you may not fully understand, and you may be going through something difficult right now, but you stay focused on living out his will. God will show up. There may be seasons of waiting. There may be seasons of unknown. There may be seasons where you're just not sure, and there may be times where you're done waiting and you want to pull the trigger on something, but you keep patiently holding out to the promises that God has given you through his word, through other people, through community and through circumstances. You'll begin to see his blessing, because God, oftentimes we ask, we seek, we knock, and we want him to show up when we want him to show up, but God's going to work and do things when God wants to. And when he does those things, guess what? It's going to be perfectly orchestrated to not only bless you, but to also bless others. So we stay persistent, we stay patient, and we stay faithful as we ask, as we seek, and as we knock. And when we do that, we see God show up in miraculous ways. I want to leave you with Isaiah 3, verse 3. It says this: you will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast. That is, committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and take refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. And I love that those last two words. Confident. It's a confident expectation that God will do it. He'll do it. Maybe not when you thought. Maybe not even how you thought. But God will do it. When God does it, when he wants, and when he wills, and how he wills, it is a magnificent thing to behold, and an even more magnificent thing for him to invite you to be a part of it. So that's what we do. We confidently, expectantly wait, ask, seek, and knock, and we just keep that going. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want to ask two questions right out the gate before I pray, and that's this. In your life, would you say that you've been more about asking God to join you in your work and your will? Or have you been asking God to show you his will, where he is at, so you can work and join him? My prayer today for you is that if it has been something where you've gone to him, and maybe on the set out, it wasn't that you were being selfish. You just needed him to show up. Times were hard. And you asked him to join you. Maybe you had a plan. You had things set out. You wanted things to go a certain way, and you asked God to bless them, and it didn't happen. Well, I wanted to encourage you today. Maybe it's not that it won't happen. It's just maybe today you need to change how you're asking, how you're seeking, how you're knocking. Instead of asking God to join you in what you want and what you're doing, humble yourself and ask him to show you where he's working. Ask him to reveal to you his will, what he's desiring of your life. Ask him to to show you what he's trying to teach you in the circumstance that you're currently going through. And seek him out in that. Seek out his word. Seek out other people. And just keep knocking. Keep on knocking and have God open the door for you to show you where he's leading and what he's doing. Because once you get to step into that story, the story of what he's doing and how he's working around you, man, I kid you not, every single time, it'll blow anything away that you had thought or you had planned or that you had prayed for. Because that's just who God is. He is extravagant. He is miraculous. He is wonderful. He is our provider. And it's a surrender to that daily, to who he is, what he's already done on the cross, to the promises of what he has for helping everyone reconcile back to him in the relationship. And so my prayer today is that as you begin to ask, you would think about where God is working already in your marriage. Think about where God is already working in the lives of your children. Think about where you can partner with God in your workplace or in your church or wherever it may be. Just pray that today that God would show you this new way. It would change your perspective on how you're seeking him and asking him and knocking. That he would reveal it to you and that you could enter into an amazing, wonderful work. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your wonderful servants and Justin and Jen and all the people that serve alongside her that have been faithfully obedient to you, that have been patient, that have been persistent, God, have continued to ask and seek and knock to join you right where you're at. God, may we be a people that live that out every single day. And we see opportunities here at Kairos, see opportunities at home, see opportunities in our workplace to join you in the work, the redemptive work that you are already doing. It's in your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.